Give Jesus a great big hand clap all over this packed church. Come on, give Jesus a great big hand clap. Hallelujah. Well, before you're seated, lift both hands to the Lord. I'm supposed to welcome you, but I always felt weird welcoming people to the town where they live when I'm not even from here. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for revival. We thank you that you've given us minimum these next 2.5 years to see every plan of the devil for the destruction of the United States of America uprooted and destroyed, and your power sweep this nation one more time before Jesus calls us home. Thank you, Father, for the anointing. Thank you that the anointing's increasing. Thank you that your kingdom is built on increase. Thank you that as we align ourselves with your plan, you increase us and build us. Thank you that you said you're building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we thank you from your word that every person who's here, wherever they are right now, however they came in here, it's not possible for them to stay that way. Thank you that by 10 p.m. this night, every person leaves with a visible change of level in every area. Not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that I don't serve an idol. I thank you that you're not blind or deaf or dumb or slow. I thank you that you're quick, that you're powerful, that your hand is not short, that it can't save. But when we call on you, you answer us and show us great and mighty things that we know not. Thank you for open doors. I pray, Father, for every minister that's here tonight, everything you've set before them to do to advance in their ministry, where the enemy's whispered in their ear how difficult it's going to be. I thank you that it'll be the easiest thing they ever do, and they're not do it by human power. They'll do it by supernatural might. In Jesus' name, we thank you for and give you praise. And everybody said, give the Lord God another mighty hand clap, and you can be comfortably seated. Well, great to be with you in North Carolina. When you're an evangelist, you have to say that no matter where you're at, but I actually mean it here because it is, number one, I've been driving here from Edenton every night, and the view with the sun setting over the peanut fields or whatever you people are growing now that they basically shut tobacco down is beautiful. And then driving here and seeing the church packed every night, cars parked where they're not supposed to be parked, makes me happy. I had a change take place in my ministry where I basically was going in the same circles over and over again, and there was no kind of change. And I went on a 21-day fast and just asked the Lord, you know, what you showed me you wanted me to do when you called me into the ministry, I'm not doing it. And so I know the fault's not on your end, and I know the devil's too tiny to do anything about it. So obviously there's something wrong with me. Help me out. And on the 17th day of that fast, a man from South Africa named Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, who's a pretty well-known minister, if you read the book that they use at Regent University to teach on the history of the Pentecostal charismatic movement in the last 100 years, there's a whole chapter devoted to him. So I answered my phone. I didn't know it was him. It was just some number with a Florida area code. I said, hello. He said, hello, in a South African accent. Hello, this is Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. I thought it was my cousin playing a joke on me or something, but his voice is so distinct that I knew it must be him. So the only thing I could think is my uncle that I played the video of on Sunday night, they're contemporaries, they're roughly the same age and both evangelists, so I thought maybe he wanted to call my uncle. I said, are you trying to call my uncle? Because you called his nephew, I could get you his number. He said, no, actually I got your number from your uncle to call you. He said, the Lord quickened my spirit to call you and have you come down to Florida whenever you'd like, and I'll show you what it took me 35 years to learn. And I said, if it doesn't creep you out, I'll be there in the morning. You know, because if somebody says come to Florida sometime, then they start wondering if you're like in the bushes surveying them. So I called my wife. We had just come home off the road. Difficult to be married to an evangelist. She was buying groceries. I said, put everything back and come home, or you can just leave the cart. You know, that creates jobs for other people, so you kind of help the labor market. I said, or you can just leave the cart and come home. She said, I thought you told me to buy food. I said, yeah, but plans change. We're going to Florida. And so we went, and I spent 2 days with him, and then on, I think it was the Friday night service, he called me out and laid hands on me and my wife. That was the first time I ever went out under the power, and we went to the next church. The next church that we went to was a little church in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania, And that pastor was nervous about doing a three-day meeting. They had never done a three-day meeting before. And he actually wanted to do Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I hate doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because nobody shows up Friday, nobody shows up Saturday, and then the big crowd's there Sunday. So I said, well, if you want to do 3 days, let's do Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. If nobody shows up Friday, it's your fault. If nobody shows up Monday, it's my fault. So put the pressure on me. Amen? And so anyway, he agreed, and he was nervous going into it. Well, we had about 140 people Sunday morning, 160 maybe. And then at night, we had 220. And then I distinctly remember what happened. On Sunday night, I gave a call for people to be healed. And the one lady said, I'm deaf in my ear. What had happened was her friend had gotten healed of deafness, what they call drug-induced deafness. When you get that warm feeling taking prescription medication, painkillers, and you feel warm and relaxed, it's because it's overloading your nerves. And if you do it long enough, it'll blow out your auditory nerve. So this lady had both her ears opened up when I was preaching. I'd only been coming to church about 3 weeks. They always receive the easiest. The people with the Bibles big enough to choke a hippopotamus takes them a little longer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just be quiet and receive a miracle. Amen. So people think they have it all figured out. So then this lady gets her ears open and runs back and gets her other friend she used to do drugs with and says, you need to come here. Well, this lady's totally deaf in both ears. So they bring her up. I hadn't had a lot of people healed like that. So I prayed for her first, put my fingers in her ears like I saw Brother Shambuck would do and A.A. Allen before him, Jesus in the Bible. Put my fingers in her ears. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command both ears come open in Jesus' name. And she just stayed like this, looked like nothing happened. So I said, okay, I'll pray for the rest of the people and come back. So I go down the whole line praying for everybody. And then I come back to her and I did it again. I said, I'm going to pray for you again. In the name of Jesus, I command both ears come open. When I got done, she never flinched. I thought, okay. So I like exhorted the crowd a little bit. And then I said, let me do it one more time. I prayed the third time. This time I worked up enough courage to ask her. I said, can you hear any better? I think I said, was on a scale of 1 to 10, was 0 being nothing and 10 being all the way. How can you hear? She said, I could hear you perfectly the first time you prayed. I said, you're awful calm about it. She said, you said when you were speaking up there that when you pray, the ears will come open. You know, in other words, it's your problem that you don't believe. You said it would happen. I said, yeah, I guess I was the one that said that. So then crowd went from like 220 Sunday night to about 260 Monday night. And then the pastor came on Tuesday night and said, I know we scheduled this to only go through Tuesday. He said, but when I was doing my devotions today, the Lord spoke to me as clear as day that when Jesus fed the multitude, as long as the multitude was hungry, he fed them. And as long, the Lord spoke to me, as long as the people here are hungry, keep feeding them. And so we were up at about 350 by Wednesday night. And then Friday, we moved it outside to a drive-in movie theater because we couldn't fit the people anymore. We had the place seated about 320, and we were having about 480 to 550 come every night. I was telling Jay on the way in, we'd have the whole sanctuary full, and then people would all be piled out in the lobby and some out the doors. Cars parked everywhere. Thank God for a fire marshal that had no concern for the people. Amen. And so we went 1 week, then 2 weeks, then 3 weeks, running about 480 to 520 a night. Then I go to the next meeting in Boston. Pastor leans over to me on Wednesday, which I'm leaving. I'm not saying this to try to like put it in your ear to go longer. I'm going home. But then he said, what do you think about staying for the end of the week? Then stayed there. And then it went like that. In fact, the church I go to next week is in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. Fitchburg has a major heroin problem. And when I went to speak there, he had about 140 people. I just telling Jay, my nephew on the way, and we stayed 5 weeks. And we had 320 some first-time decisions for Christ in a town of 140. And so where I'm going now, the church seated 200. They just built a brand new building that seats 1,100. When he took the church, they actually gave him the Assemblies of God church with the least people. Basically, he was out of Teen Challenge. They thought, like, this guy's kind of nuts, but we were going to shut this church down anyway, so just let him take it. If he blows it, you know, we don't lose anything. And now it's the biggest Assemblies of God church in the Southern New England district. Anytime they have cocaine addicts come or heroin addicts to the other churches in Fitchburg, the pastors tell them, We can't help you here. Go to his church. That's the place to go and you'll get set free. And so when you go there, it's the greatest place to preach because none of the people, I'd say 80% of the crowd's been saved less than 5 years. They don't know how long a service is supposed to be. When I stand up on the chairs and preach, they just think that's what you're supposed to do. Nobody knows anything, and the Lord shook that place. Well, the reason I brought that up is because what you've seen God do this week is what God's restoring to the body of Christ. The Bible says there's 5 ministry gifts that when Jesus died, he descended into the lowest parts of the earth and gave gifts to men. And he gave gifts to the church, ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And they've basically done away with every gift other than teacher. Because they used to say they've done away with every gift other than pastor and teacher. But the way most people believe, there's not even a distinct pastor gift. It's we're all level at the foot of the cross. You know, the congregation will lay hands on the pastor. Then the pastor will lay hands on the congregation. There's no understanding from the Bible that there's a great shepherd, Jesus. There's under shepherds and there's sheep. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so there's authority just like there is in the military. Yes, they're all soldiers. But if you're a sergeant and you walk up to a major and say, listen, I know you're given orders, but I'm a soldier just like you, and I have a few things to say. You're going to be hurting very shortly because that's not how it works. So they've undone that authority where basically, I mean, when you put on Christian TV now, it's just one teacher after another, and teaching's great. But you need all 5 gifts. Thank you for 6 amens. It lets me know I'm telling the right people who need to understand this. So you need all 5 gifts, apostle, prophet, and you hear people say stupid stuff. You know, you want to know how I know someone's not a prophet? If they say they are one. Well, Paul said he was a prophet. So was he not one? I understand there's a bunch of lunatics that get everything printed on business cards and have a red 6-button suit and they're nuts. But you'd never undermine what's in the Bible just because people did it wrong. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say a better amen?
Amen.
Apostle, prophet, then they did away with evangelists. The Assemblies of God actually shut down the National Office of the Evangelist a few years back. In fact, when that happened, I was 27 and was basically just starting. You know, my family's been in the Assemblies of God. My grandfather got ordained in the Assemblies of God in the 1950s. So we've been in a long time. And so when I was starting out, and then I get an email, it was actually other pastors that sent it to me, that the day of people coming to night after night to hear a preacher is over. People are busy now, which actually, people are the least busy they've ever been. I could show you on a chart, it used to take a woman 80 hours to do the housework that was required for a family of 4, and now it takes 6 hours. You know, you used to have to use a washing board and draw water from a well. Housework used to take 80 hours, now housework takes 6 hours. So people actually have the most spare time. People don't have 3 online girlfriends on Tinder because they're very busy. People are very not busy. Go to McDonald's here in Ahoskie. There's about 41 cars in line to go get a quarter pounder. So people aren't that busy. Can you say amen?
Amen?
But religion always gets you to see the downside of things. And so they actually sent, the Assemblies of God, National Office of the Evangelist, sent this out to all these pastors. The day of people coming night after night to hear a preacher is over. People are busy. We have to find new ways to present the gospel. And then they had testimonies, if you want to call it. It's actually the opposite of a testimony, of 3 evangelists that used to be full-time that have all had to either get jobs or work at a church. Well, when I read that, that discouraged me because I didn't have a lot of meetings when I saw that. And now the people that are in charge are saying, yeah, the reason you don't have a lot of meetings is this is phasing out. But as soon as I read it, I felt the Lord speak to me as strong as I ever heard it. Anything the devil tells you won't work once, do it twice. And I felt the Lord speak to me, start having noon meetings and 7 p.m. meetings. And so that was a while back. I've stopped doing that. We do TV instead because you can reach more people. But for a while, in the face of that, when people were saying, I don't think people will come, I said, no. And not only am I going to come, if you have me, we're going to do a day service and a night service. Day service? How are people going to come at noon? Everybody works. Well, Judge Judy doesn't have 10 million viewers a day because everybody works. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Not everybody works. And so we would start doing those meetings in the day. Teach in the day, lay hands on people, have anointing service, and then at night have a blowout meeting. But that is an office called the evangelist. And that's what I am by the grace of God. I don't know if I told you when I was here or not. I probably never told this story for 8 years because anybody I ever heard talk about angels looked like they were nuts. And I thought people would think I was crazy if I told this story. But I was 8 years old, and my mother sent me up to change in the upstairs bedroom of our house. I bent over and picked up the pajamas, and when I looked up, there was an angel on the other side of the bed. So I just stood real still and was quiet. You know, people say, what did the angel look like? Looked like someone not to be messed with. That's what it looked like. And the angel said, Jonathan, God has reserved you for this last period of time to be an evangelist. So I paid attention. I had an offer to be a youth pastor coming out of school. He didn't say he reserved you to be a youth pastor. So you go to Bible college now. They've only got, it's, you would think that all the ministry gifts were youth pastor, senior pastor, worship leader, or missionary. That's all you can train for. They don't even have an evangelism minor at any full gospel Bible school in the United States. So what's happened? The devil knew if you could take, cut the arm of evangelism off, then churches just keep getting smaller because how does a church grow? Not by waiting for people to wander in and get saved. There's a gift to go out and compel people to come in by the anointing and receive Jesus Christ and be saved. Can you say amen? Amen. And so, amen. So that's what you're seeing this week. We had more last night. Sunday morning, or Sunday night was bigger than Sunday morning. Last night was at least level with that. And then tonight is jammed. There's cars parked where cars aren't supposed to be parked. That's not normal. The Jehovah's Witness parking lot's still empty. Can you say amen? Amen. And ours is full. Past all the dead churches, their parking lot's empty. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says we should be meeting together more often instead of less often as you see the coming of the Lord approaching. And then when you think about it, I've done everything the wrong way to grow a meeting. If you were doing it by what Christianity Today says, or Southeastern University, or Valley Forge, or whoever, what would they tell you? Well, you know, you need to keep a service to about 90 minutes. People don't want to have their time abused. I don't even get, I mean, I'm probably about 35 minutes in right now, and I'm just saying hello. And so we've run every night late, but people are actually the hungriest they've ever been for the power of God's word and the move of God's spirit. I'm going to tell you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The devil has overplayed his hand. I think that Satan felt that Jesus was going to come back sooner than what he did. And so now he pushed it too far with the gender stuff where you have kids getting taught in first grade to question their sexuality, explore whether they want to be a lesbian or a homosexual. They haven't even finished picking their nose yet. In Eastern Canada, where I've preached, they give your kid a spectrum in Canada. Males on one side and females on the other. And they're taught. There's no such thing as someone that's 100% male. Well, have those people never seen Mr. T? No one's 100% male and no one's 100% female. Everybody's on a spectrum in between. And I'm going to tell you what happened. People got tired of that getting pushed too far. And even sinners have started to rebel against it. And that's what you're seeing starting to happen in America right now. Just make yourself at home. Ushers, again, if you know, maybe the first row is not the best place to come. 50 minutes in. So if you could help me out, that would be great. You can't have a move of God with disorder. Just remember that. Can you say amen? So if you grew up Catholic, tap into your Catholicism a little bit. Catholics are the best at sitting still of anywhere in the country. Can you say amen? Your amen was weak. Can you say amen? I'm not mad at you. I'm happy with you. So anyway, they've pushed this stuff so far that America started to wake up and actually overthrew where the devil had this thing just about on lockdown. And see, unlike a lot of people in America and unlike a lot of ministers in America, I've spent extensive time preaching in Africa, preaching in Europe, preaching in Canada. I think Americans think it can only go so far. There's really, you know, don't be that concerned. Things can only get so bad. They've never been overseas. They've never seen an Islamic takeover of Germany, England, Canada, where you can't even have a night of worship outside in Toronto, Ontario, because the lyrics to the songs are offensive, saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And they were trying to push that same thing into America, but the people of God woke up and people started to pray. I remember back in 2016, for the first time that I ever saw in America, the only churches that ever had all-night prayer meetings were either West African churches or Korean churches. And everybody started praying. It was like people could tell that this Antichrist spirit had just about moved all the way in. And there something rose up. And God answered the prayers of the people of the United States. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say a better amen?
Amen.
God answered the prayers of the people of the United States. And I can see, I mean, I could show you article after article, the plans of the globalist agenda to bring everything under a one world government, one world ruler, one world military, one world money system. That's what the Bible says is going to happen in Revelation 13. That's what the push is for open borders. It doesn't have anything to do about compassion for people from Mexico. It is a plan to destroy the sovereignty of America. Anybody ever heard of a man named Dr. Lester Sumrall? Dr. Lester Sumrall preached back in the 80s that America is the last domino that must fall before the global order takes place. And that's why America's worth fighting for. And so you can see there is a major attempt to collapse the United States. But the devil doesn't get to determine what happens in this country. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that God gave the dominion to tell the devil enough is enough. Can you say amen? And that's the bigger picture of meetings like this. It's not about just coming and speaking and having a crowd. It's about God putting a fire back in people to put their foot on the head of the devil and say, you're not going to have my country. You're not going to have North Carolina. You're not going to have my children. I claim my family. I claim my state. I claim my nation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to have God use me for his anointing to flow through me to bless my generation in Jesus' name. If you know that's why God brought you here, clap your hands, all ye people, and give God a mighty shout. Somebody shout hallelujah. So an evangelist is not supposed to come and collect a check, speak their message, collect a check, and go to the other place. An evangelist is supposed to bring an explosive gift to the body of Christ. That what would have taken 35 years of growth and programs and all that, that you just come like a bomb. He said, these evangelists, they blow in, blow up, and blow out. Yep, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. You blow in, you blow up by the power of God, blow every devil out of the county, bring people into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then the pastor gets the fun of helping them from then till when Jesus comes. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so then you had that one in Fitchburg, explosive growth, Montreal. And it was like one meeting after another, after hands were laid on me, it started to go like that. And then my friend Kevin that's here, how far did you drive down tonight? Yeah, which, oh, so what, hour 40? Hour. So you go a different speed limit than me. That's great, though. I like aggressive driving. You know, I was in one of those meetings. It was a church way out in the country in Pennsylvania, in the center of the state. And his girlfriend at the time, Melissa, came, and she got saved and then told him to come. So Sunday night, they're there. And he gets saved, and they got so convicted, they were living together, that the next night they came, and one sat on one side of the building, and the other sat on the other side. And I never said anything about living together or anything. Just the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And God did such a work in them, and that was probably, what, 7 years ago? 7 years. And then I get a text from his now wife. When did you marry? How quick after that did you marry? End of that week, end of the month? 2 years later, you were married? So they've been married 5 years now, and he's down there working. And I get a text that he's going to come down tonight. You'll never know how happy it made me when you go pour your heart out for 7 weeks at a place, and then the devil tries to say, what did it really accomplish? And then you see 7 years later, a guy that was on his way to hell now has been serving the Lord for 7 years, anointed, God's prospered him. Give my friend Kevin a big hand clap for everything that the Lord's done. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so basically what I'm telling you is this. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts the 8th chapter. This is the only evangelist in the Bible. Jonathan, God has reserved you for this last period of time to be an evangelist, to call men and women that are now in darkness into the light, for soon it will be eternally too late. Do you understand? And I said, yes, with a speech impediment. 8 sounds in the alphabet that I couldn't say correctly. And so when God called me to preach, I couldn't speak. You can't speak publicly for a living when you can't speak privately for free. I had to miss recess twice a week to get speech therapy to try to correct the 8 sounds. When I invited my friends to my birthday party, I invited them to Cucky Keys. Couldn't say C-C-H-S-S-H-Z, a ton of them. And then I had 2 non-surgical procedures on my legs. My feet were crooked, very crooked. Legs were crooked. And when I told that angel I'll preach, they never got any of the 8 sounds corrected. The lady called my mother in when I was in 5th grade and said, listen, Jonathan's been coming here since 1st grade, 2 days a week. He had 8 things he couldn't say right. Still has 8 things he couldn't say right. Be better if he just played with the other kids. You know, so you don't need speaking for every job. Don't worry about it. That's basically a fancy way of saying I quit. And when she quit, the Lord straightened out my mouth. I remember when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I heard myself speaking in that heavenly tongue, saying sounds that I couldn't say. It was blowing me away. I was crying both from the anointing and just being blown away what God did to my speech. And I'm going to tell you, God did such a radical change in me that in 2013, I was preaching in Pittsburgh, where I'm from, and an old lady with white hair came down to the front when I finished with her mouth open. She said, you're Jonathan Shuttlesworth that lived around here? I said, yeah. She said, you probably don't remember me. I was your preschool teacher. Where are the braces that were on your legs? I said, they're back in hell with my speech impediment. Return to sender. Just because the devil sends you a package doesn't mean you have to sign for it. And I'm going to that's why it's always been very easy for me to preach on the miracle transforming power of God. Because I don't just believe in miracles. I am, like Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm telling you, without God's help, I wouldn't be doing one thing that I'm doing right now. But where you are weak, the Holy Ghost stands up and makes you strong. And I'm going to prophesy to you right up front. Every package that was sent to your life that wasn't sent by God, worth putting it returned to sender before 10 o'clock tonight. You're leaving here free where people won't even be able to explain the change that God made in you. If you believe that with me, put those hands together and give God a mighty, mighty shout one more time. But the believers who were scattered preached the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miracles that he did. There it is again. I started on that one of the other nights. They were eager to hear his message and see the miracles that he did. The gospel is to be accompanied by power in the realm of signs and wonders that prove that we're not talking about a religion. We're talking about a living God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You don't have to work miracles up. If you do what Paul said, you know, you can't just claim what they had in the book of Acts. Do what they do and you'll have what they have. They were meeting daily praying. What did Paul say? Pray always in the Holy Ghost. I thank God I pray more than you all. Jude said, pray always in the Holy Ghost, building up your most precious faith. So you pray. You stir up the gift of God that's within you. The ministry's not sitting on a stool, sipping a soy latte, giving 3 keys to managing your time better. We're not called as ministers to teach on things that you could get in any $1 book at a pop psychology course. We're called to minister the life and power of God to people that are on their way, that are dying and on their way to hell. Because you can do it 2 ways. If you've got a tree that's growing on in your property, messing stuff up, you can hack one branch off every year and you're going to never make any progress. Or you can call some friends over, get a 48-pack of Mountain Dew, dig a trench around it, get one of your buddies that has a connection where he can get you some illegal dynamite, put it around the trench, have a barbecue, and blow that thing out of the ground. And that's the plan God has. God isn't looking to hack every unclean branch off of your life one by one. You know, I need to stop smoking, and I have an anger problem, and I also need prayer because, you know, I'm just really battling depression. You can deal with it one branch at a time. How many of you have gone fishing here? You know, there's different baits for different fish. depending on what you're going to try to catch. But no matter what fish you're trying to catch, a little dynamite in the water works on every kind of fish. And the power of the Holy Ghost is the dynamite in the water that blows out everything the devil's tried to attach to your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You'd be amazed not only how many problems the anointing of God will solve, you'd be amazed how quickly the anointing will solve problems. In fact, even as I'm telling you this, my mind's quickened back to a meeting that I did. It was a youth meeting in West Virginia. And I never had such a hard time preaching, and I didn't know back then what I know now. I don't think I was married yet. I wasn't married. I was like 25. And so I'm preaching good messages, and it's going nowhere. There's no response from any of the kids. I mean, they just stare at me, you know, not mean. They all sat still, but there was like no breakthrough. Give the altar call to get saved. One kid would come down, you know, no move of the Spirit, no flow. And so one night I thought, well, I must be having an off night. Second night, I thought, well, after the second night, I thought, something's up. Because there have been times where it didn't break through the first night, but then after two nights, and I realized from that point on that there's spiritual resistance and spiritual opposition. And anytime I went two nights and nothing happened, there were demonic problems. But I didn't know that back then. But what I did was, on day three, I just fasted all day and prayed. So, Father, it's like I'm preaching, there's like a brick wall up. I pray that I don't know what I'm doing, but you know what to do. Just speak to me. Give me your heart. Give me your mind. Show me what to do to navigate through this. So I get up that night and I preach. It's still going nowhere. But then I notice, it's like the Holy Ghost drew me to this one girl who's sitting there with her arms crossed. And I said, like you heard me say a few nights when I've been preaching here, I said, young lady, would you mind if I pray for you? So she lifted her hands and went, oh, yes, Reverend. She still had her arms crossed and went like this. So I said, well, stand up. She stood up. I said, step out into the aisle. She stepped out in the aisle and just cleared at me like this. I said, the only thing I can tell you is when I got close to you, it's like I feel like there's a weight on you that would be like on a 40-some-year-old woman that's been through three marriages and had a rough life, and you're only 15. I said, so I know that's a spiritual thing. I said, lift your hands, and God's going to take that load off of you right now. And I'm telling you, when I said that, it's not like she started crying. She went like this. And then I said, in the name of Jesus, this yoke that's been affixed to this young lady, I command it to be destroyed by the anointing now in Jesus' name. And when I said now, let me tell you, nobody was more shocked than me. Because it looked like you were like forcing a word on someone. She went up off of her feet and fell down and started shaking under the power of God. And you, and I mean, it was dramatic. So anyway, you know, I have to act like I'm in charge and I've seen everything before. Oh, yeah, no, that's normal. But really inside I'm thinking, holy moly, what is that? And then as soon as I looked up, three girls in another section of the auditorium stood up and all three walked into the aisle and went like this and motioned for me to pray for them. They weren't friends. I never asked them for prayer. And they hadn't moved a muscle in three nights. So I went over to them. I said, okay, all three of you, in the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the power of God hit them. They went out, started crying. Well, I found out after that girl that I called out first had been what they call a cutter. For almost a year, she had taken razor blades and cut her wrists. And so she had been going to counseling at the church for it. The pastor would meet her two times a week and counsel her. It had been for 18 months. And so she got up off the ground and said this. I felt whatever that pressure was that would make me cut myself. When you prayed for me in Jesus' name, I felt it leave. And then she said, and I know it'll never come back. Now listen. This girl. That her mom had to make her go to church. Now came early the next, that was Saturday night. She came early Sunday morning and asked the pastor if she could testify about what God did for her. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:5, in the last days, men will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof that would make them godly. And so there's a way to have church. Get dressed up in the robe or the suit. Say, hallelujah. And so as we go to the second point. And talk like that. But there's no move of God. It's a show. It's a ritual. And you can even have religion among Pentecost. where it's just the same thing every week. You know how many fast songs there's going to be? You know how many slow songs there's going to be? So-and-so's going to make announcements. Then you take the offertory. Then Sister So-and-so's going to sing during the offertory. Then you're going to preach for 35 minutes. Have everybody stand up. And as we go our separate ways, Lord, be with among the people. And it's the same thing. Just like you can be religious in Catholicism and a Lutheran church and a Methodist church, you can have full gospel painted on the sign or charismatic, but it doesn't make any difference. And I talked about this at length last night. There has been a move of the devil to get the church in America to be ashamed of and embarrassed of the Holy Spirit. And so what happens is people have basically thought in America that you can either be a Holy Ghost person, but you have to be a weirdo. I'm going to tell you something. Any church that has 19 people and banners and shofars under the name of Pentecost, and it has 19 people the next year and 19 people the next year, they're as dead as the churches they make fun of, because the Holy Ghost draws souls to be saved. It's not some weird sideshow. It is the power that's been given to heaven to pull people out of the devil's grip and lay them at the feet of Jesus. So people have thought that basically you have to choose between being a weirdo who honors the Holy Ghost, or having a normal, like, Baptist church that doesn't have a move of the Spirit, but at least everybody's not nuts. But I'm going to tell you something. Nobody operated in a greater anointing than Jesus, and Jesus wasn't nuts. Jesus could function among prostitutes or governors. Everywhere he went, he was in command. And so don't let the devil ever get you ashamed of the Spirit of God. We don't need less of the Holy Ghost in 2018. We need an overflowing cup of the anointing to run through us. Because it's not just that girl in West Virginia. If I were to interview you one-on-one, many of you could tell me about how you have a granddaughter. Somebody's not getting off heroin by methadone. I'm just going to tell you. I've been ministering to heroin addicts for 3 years. They've been in and out of clinics 9 times, 11 times. And when you talk to them, you say, how can anyone do drugs like that and steal from their own parents? Why don't you talk to them? They'd be the first to tell you. I don't want to do that. I'm so sorry that I stole. But there is a yoke of slavery that's on them that you can't teach away. There is a power that God gave us to speak to the prisoner and tell him the time of your release is now. Somebody say it so God can hear you. Say, we need the Holy Ghost. I hear people talk on whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Christian TV. Well, you know, we have the Father, the Son, and the Word. No, that's not the Trinity. It's not the Father, the Son, and the Word, you bozo. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And in the Old Testament, it was the time of the Father. In the Gospels, it was Jesus on the earth. But then Jesus said, hey, boys, I'm going up to heaven. And they said, listen, we wish you'd quit saying you're going to heaven. We want you to stay here. Jesus said, let me tell you, boy, something. You think I'm going to heaven because I want to go. I'm not going because it's better for me. I'm not going up to heaven because I've eaten at all the good restaurants in Israel and in Judea, and I'm ready to go back home now. I'm not going for my sake. It's better for you if I go than if I stay. Praise God. For if I stay, I cannot send another. But when I go, I'll send another who is with you now, but later, where will he be? He'll be in you. And the same work that you see me do, you shall do, and greater works. For I go to the Father on your behalf. Yes, ask anything you want to. Ask anything you want to. And I will give it. Not I might give it. I mean, you know, sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. Shut up. It's not in the Bible. It says ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Everything the devil's done to you or your family that sucked the joy out of living. The Bible says part of the curse is that in the morning you'll wish it was night, and at night you'll wish it was morning. That's what life's turned into for that 15-year-old girl, cutting herself, mother in tears. She got delivered, and then I found out those three girls that all stood up on their own, they were cutters. So you find out that spiritual principle that when you take care of the strong man, all the other little punk devils just cleared out for free. And I tell you tonight, in Ahoskie, North Carolina, every punk devil is getting sent on the run. They can go to South Carolina, they can go up to Virginia, but they can't stand here. There's a new sheriff in Ahoskie, and his name is the Holy Spirit, who sets every prisoner free. Go ahead, take 15 seconds. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. The devil might have written the first half of your book, but you and Jesus are going to write a different story tonight. I prophesy, I didn't come here to give you a little armor out and things are going to be okay. No. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Your life isn't going to end how it started. Your life's not going to finish the way that it started. God's going to lead you out of where you're at now, and you're going to go forward. You're going to go higher. You're going to be the head and not the tail, whether the devil likes it or not. And I know you're not used to somebody having passion. But if you don't like somebody talking that loud, I can recommend 150 churches in the area as we continue with our reading today. Let me tell you, I don't come here looking to, I can't talk about the anointing. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. It's a power. It's a quickening power. I'm so tired of hearing full gospel people mock the anointing now. You don't have to scream and shout. Yeah, but you should try it sometime. The Bible says, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. You don't ever read, and the anointing came upon Elijah and he took a nap. The anointing came upon Elijah, he outran the king's chariot. The anointing came upon Elijah, he called fire down from heaven. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, if the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Think of that. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, if he dwells where? In you. Not he touch you, he dwell in you. Oh, Father, anoint our speaker tonight. I'm already anointed. I got anointed when I was 6, and I found out I don't ever have to turn loose of the anointing. You can stir up the gift of God that's within you. You can be anointed when you're asleep. Wake up anointed. Live through the day anointed. Be anointed at night when you lay your head down. The psalmist said, I will be anointed with fresh oil. And God is pouring out a fresh anointing on his church in North Carolina tonight in Jesus' name. The anointing's a quickening power. I said the anointing's a quickening power. When the anointing comes on your body, you move. Where I'm going to preach next week in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, last year when I was there, I was preaching on the quickening power of God. And as I was preaching, it was kind of like how it was about 1 minute ago. This lady that was in the front row in a wheelchair, so they had her wheelchair like right here, she just stood up and lifted her hands and started praising God. She couldn't walk. She wasn't in a wheelchair because it hurt to walk. I knew her. In fact, they wanted me to pray for her on Sunday. I said, I'll pray for you Friday if you still need prayer. Just keep coming and listening to the word of God. And so everybody starts standing up and lifting their hands. Why? Because when the Holy Ghost comes, he quickens your body. And so she stands up and lifts both hands. And I yelled down from the platform. I said, hey, you can't stand up. Don't you know you're crippled? She went like this. She didn't even realize what she did. Next night, same thing. Now she gets up and starts running. And I had her, I still have the video. I'm going to put it on TV here, put it on TV in Europe, just to shove it in the devil's face. That mocks me. Let me tell you something. Miracles will shut up every person on HBO, every person on Showtime that mocks the Holy Ghost, that mocks the church. Signs and wonders are the proof that this isn't an idea. We serve a Jesus who was dead, but look, now he is alive and he lives forevermore. You know, when somebody's in a wheelchair a long time, their legs get all drawn up. Because no matter what their physical therapist does, nobody can exercise for you. So their legs start looking like my arms, get real thin. And her legs were like that, like real, especially at the bottom, real skin. When she stood up and started walking, I was looking at her legs. Well, this is amazing. I sat in her wheelchair. I said, give me a ride out. She started with two hands, then one hand, and had her hand up praising God. And on the video, you watch all the church people were talking. It'd be good to have your children somewhere where they see God do something that drops their jaw. My dad's been preaching for 40 years. Stuff would happen. It would drop. You know, it's what gave me faith to believe like I'm believing for. My dad was on a 40-day fast. And I don't mean a Daniel fast. I mean an actual fast where you don't eat. Well, our youth group's fasting television. That's not a fast unless you eat TVs. If fasting television was a fast, everybody that lived before 1930 fasted their whole life. Push the food away. It's getting quiet. And I'm not fasting here. The food's too good. I wait till I go up north where they don't know how to use any seasoning or anything. My dad had to go on a 40-day fast when he turned 40. And towards the end of the fast, he was booked to preach at a church in Otisville, Michigan, right outside of Flint, Michigan, Assemblies of God Church. And my dad was so weak that he couldn't even stand up for worship. Just get up to preach, and then obviously when the anointing kicks in, it quickens your body. That church started with 180 on Sunday morning. They had 48 members of one family get saved. They extended the meeting through 6 weeks because so many people were getting saved. 48 members of one family got saved in the 6 weeks. On the first Sunday, there was one person from the family there, a man, who was believing for his wife to get saved. She got saved Sunday night. The kids that were grown came and got saved Monday. Then all the brothers and sisters on both sides of the family and both sets of parents and the cousins. 48 people from one family, and 47 of the 48 weren't in church when the meeting started. Now you had a section of the family that had just gotten born again. They started with 160 people on the first Sunday. They closed with 880. Week six. Everybody say revival. That's revival. Now, any devil that put it in your mind that because it's the last days, you know, things will get more wicked. Yeah. And the Bible says where wickedness abounds, there the grace and power of God will that much more abound. This is not a slow dying out of the church until the trumpet sounds and rescues us. This is the hour that we are anointed to remind the devil that he lost a major, major battle 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus Christ. That these souls that he has wrapped up in heroin and fentanyl and depression and suicidal thoughts, screamed through the night, hearing multiple voices, kids on 11 different medications. Did you know over 7 million children in the United States are on psychotic medication? One-year-olds. I have the article. People between the age of 0 and 1 that are on antidepressants. It's a scheme where they're looking to make money off poor people's kids that they know can't afford an attorney. Thanks for the 11 amens. I know I'm in the right country. People think it's normal for the pharmaceutical companies to make money off of you. Everybody in debt. Nobody have any money. Throw up a casino in 8 months for $500 million. And then a church has to take 12 years to raise $900 to build a shed to put the church lawnmower in. I don't know who mixed things up. But I'm going to tell you something. You can read the Bible in any language you want. Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, or English. And you're going to find something out. This hour is not ordained by God for us to get our rears kicked by the devil. This is an hour ordained by God to kick the devil's rear end and remind him the nations of the world don't belong to you. The church is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all the inhabitants that dwell therein. Lift your hands all over this place. Everything that has slowed down, everything dying or dead, every assault of the devil against your family, against your marriage, against your children. I curse every tree that was planted in your family that wasn't planted there by God. Let it be uprooted tonight. I command your children to come home. I command your grandchildren to come home. In the name of Jesus Christ, every household that's represented here, let every chain be shaken off of it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things aren't going to finish how they started. I said things aren't going to finish how they started. The battle's not over. And the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. And the Lord doesn't know how to lose. So rejoice and be glad. For the Lord has given you the victory. God, put those North Carolina hands together. Give God a North Carolina shout. Let the devil know that he lost you for good. Make some noise. The devil is defeated. Then I'll go preaching like this. Someone come up to me. Well, you're an old-fashioned preacher. I'm not old enough to be an old-fashioned preacher. It's called the Holy Ghost. T.L. Osborne said the gospel is not only good news. It should be preached like it's breaking news. If you're not excited about it, why should anybody else be excited about it? And I'm excited. Used to excite me when I was 4 and 5. Listen to my dad preach about that stuff. I got a little Mr. Potato Head cassette tape that I recorded over when I was 3 and a half. Preached on David and Goliath. It's a good sermon. Listen to it. And David stood before the uncircumcised Philistine. You know, you're raised in church when you know the word uncircumcised before you know United States. And David took a stone and hit that giant in the head and cut his head off. Then when you listen to the tape, my sister runs in and starts disrupting. I said, Mom, get Jessica out of here. It was the first person I ever threw out of one of my services. Amen. Been doing it ever since. Been doing it all over the place. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I was preaching in Indiana one time. And I preached on praise. I actually titled it Breaking a Spirit of Religion. Because what religion does is it sucks the praise out of a church.
Amen.
All the songs are slow. And the devil doesn't like praise because, number one, he doesn't have it. And number two, it loses a power that immediately destroys what he's doing. Why do you think I have to shout hallelujah so many times? You think I'm sitting around my house with my wife again? Somebody shout hallelujah. No. I grew up in Pentecostal church where people bound the devil every 8 minutes. Person would open the service up. Before we get started, Satan, I bind you. Next person, get up. Satan, I bind you. 8 minutes later, Satan, I bind you. I thought, if this sucker is that slippery that he can get loose every 8 minutes, we're fighting a losing battle. But I found something out from the Bible. Like a fish can't survive out of water, the devil can't survive in an atmosphere of praise. That's why the Bible says again and again, let the people rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout all the earth with an exclamation point. Praise him on the drums. Praise him on the stringed instrument. Heaven's not going to sound like a public library. Heaven's loud. Loud. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Threw my sister out at 3, and then there I am 30 years later. I said, not you guys, but I said, everybody stand up and lift both hands. And when I did, everybody stood up and lifted both hands, getting ready to praise. And you know, I preached on it for an hour. And this Midwestern redneck guy glaring at me. And I was probably on a fast. And I'm not always in the best mood when I've eaten. When I haven't eaten in like 9 days, don't glare at me. It was Sunday morning at a nice Assemblies of God church. I said, so I figured I'd give him a chance in case he was like crippled or something. I don't want to make a fool out of myself. I said, sir, are you physically able to stand up?
Yep.
I said, then please stand on your feet and lift your hands. I'm not standing up. I said, sir, I know you think I'm just some American preacher that's going to. You got the wrong guy. I come from Peter's lineage. where if you lie about the offering, they carry you out in a sheet. I said, now listen, you can stand up right now of your own accord, or I'm going to have two ushers stand you up and walk you out into the parking lot. But be sure of one thing. You will stand up, my friend. He stood up, walked out, and walked out by himself and looked back at his girlfriend and went like this. And his girlfriend looked back and went, "Ooh, I felt good." He stormed out, busted through the door. That girl came down and received Jesus Christ. And that night, she pulled into the parking lot with her driving, her girlfriend in the front seat, and three more girls in the back seat, and walked the other four up to the altar. The battles of life are spiritual. That was a defiant spirit. And if you sit and let it do what it wants, you lose that girl. You know, you can't keep everybody. You can't turn a wolf into a sheep. And Jesus taught there's wolves, there's goats, there's wolves in sheep's clothing, and there's sheep. And you can't turn the one into another kind. That's what deadens a church. They want to try to turn everybody into a sheep. And we're, no, you have to recognize that there's Sanballats and there's people anointed by hell to destroy what God's given you to do. But lift your hands all over this room. Every person that was sent from hell to destroy your family, destroy your children, destroy your business, destroy your ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ, they'll go missing after tonight. And God will replace them with encouragers. Just like I'm encouraging you right now, I won't be the last one. God will start to mobilize people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. That'll lift your hands up as a pastor, a minister, a businessman, and tell you you're going to make it, stand and fight with you. You're going to do great at the end of this year, says the Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, if you receive that, one more time, put those hands together and give God a mighty, mighty shout. Hallelujah. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Lift your hands all over the room and just begin to thank God out of your mouth. If you're filled with the Spirit, just begin to thank God in the Spirit. If you've not yet been filled with the Spirit, just thank Him in English. Just tell Him you love Him. But everybody's mouth should be doing something. Shimandore pakata. Bandoro, thank Him. Open up your mouth and thank Him. God's not finished with you yet. Your best days are not behind you. Your best days are yet to come. Every obstacle that's in your path, God will lay waste to it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. Everything the devil's tried to use to destroy, everything the devil's used to try to destroy this region, God's already destroyed it. I tell you, the walls of racism and segregation are already torn down. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, everybody said. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Go ahead and clap your hands and rejoice. Hallelujah. Somebody say this, my best days. Say, my best days aren't behind me. My best days are yet to come. Let me tell you this. Dr. Lester Sumrall that I brought up earlier, when he was in his late 70s and took that church in South Bend, he went to build a house. And the Lord gave him an instruction. Man, I feel good. Hallelujah. You people have been good for me. What great people. I'm going to bless you tonight, and you're going to go home and know you've been blessed. What wonderful people. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I feel the wind of heaven coming behind people right now. Anybody in the sound of my voice that's retired, I officially unretire you right now. You retire, you die. The average person dies within 7 years of retirement. God didn't create people to sit. You're never going to find one place in the Bible where an angel of the Lord appeared to someone and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I'm finished with you. Buy a rocking chair and watch the sunset." No. Dr. Lester Summerall was in his 70s, goes to build that house in South Bend, and the Lord gives him an instruction. He built the most peculiar garage that you've ever seen. He built a circle driveway that went through the garage, and there was an automatic garage door on the front, which was a big deal back in the 80s. But then the thing that made it weird was there was a second automatic garage door in the back. So he never had to back out of the driveway. He would go through, and then when he went to leave the next day, he'd open the other one and go through that way. And the Lord said, "I'm having you build this driveway this way as a sign to you and a sign to your neighbors that faith always goes forward." He said this way, first thing in the day when you sit in your car and turn it on, rather than backing up, you'll look at your weird garage and think, why is it designed like that? Oh, yeah. Because God's not having me go backwards, even though I'm in my 70s. He's going to have me go forwards. And he said it'll be a sign to everybody in your neighborhood that this is a prophetic thing. I'm going to tell you, his ministry went from about $3 million a year budget in his 70s to in the hundreds of millions of dollars when he was in his early 80s. I'm glad he didn't retire at 62. I'm glad he didn't listen to all these bozos that, I'm in my late 50s now. Big deal. What are you, a village elder? How old was Abraham when God started with him? 70. How old was Moses when God started with him? 80. So what happens is the devil gets you into an American mentality where you start winding down right at the time when God's going to use you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to listen to me. Whether it's age, whether it's some side swipe thing that happened, somebody split your church, somebody attacked you, somebody sued you, somebody took half your money, I don't care what the thing is that the devil used to cut your legs out from under and get you in a mindset that, I'm just going to plod along. I had these big dreams and then this happened. No, the anointing is going to come today. And it's not only going to get you back to where you left, the Lord's going to give you back double everything that the devil took before the end of tonight in Jesus' name. Say it so the devil can hear you. Say, "God's not finished with me yet." Turn to Job 42. Job 42. Job 42. Now, the favorite book of the Bible of every loser in the body of Christ is Job.
Well, I know he talks about victory and the blessing of the Lord makes you rich, but I'm like Job.
Oh, really? Job had a Tweety Bird tattoo, saggy on his neck? I didn't realize that.
I'm like Job, Nothing works out for me.
What a stupid way to interpret the book of Job. Every Bible scholar will tell you, Catholic, Presbyterian, don't make any difference. Every Bible scholar will tell you that Job's whole ordeal lasted about 18 months. Not 18 years. 18 months. I'm like Job. No, you're not. Job could come down from heaven, he'd slap you in the head. Job was in and out of it in 18 months. And Job didn't have Jesus. Job didn't have the ability to go to the Father in prayer. Job's not a book to show you that, yes, God wrote a lot of promises, but we also have to remember that sometimes God gets angry and takes it all away. God's not schizophrenic. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variance or shadow of turning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How was that able to be done to Job? How was Job able to lose everything that he had? There was a hedge of protection around him, his family, and everything he owned. How did Satan breach it? Satan said to God, if you let me touch him, I can get him to curse you to your face. Because Job was justified by his own works. But we are not justified by works. We are justified by faith in what Jesus did. So the way that the devil attacked Job could never be used against any New Testament believer. Thanks for one grunt and one semi-amen. Sorry to destroy your whole theology of why things don't work out. And so Satan comes in, and Job doesn't know anything about Satan. So he's blaming God for everything, and God rebukes him in the last two chapters. You didn't know what you were talking about. In fact, Job actually says at one point, forgive me, I was talking about things I don't know about. So Job's not a book to keep the blessings and promises of God as a check and balance. Job is to make you appreciate the relationship you have with God through Jesus Christ. Because you want to know what Job said three different times in different words? Oh, that I had an advocate to take my case before God. But I don't. But I know one day my Redeemer lives. And I know one day, though I won't see him in my body, he will stand upon the earth and I will see him. Job is to make you appreciate Jesus. Job wasn't under our covenant. Job wasn't even under the old covenant. Job was under like a Windows 95 covenant. Two generations ago. Didn't even have a Levitical priest. So what dummy would go back to Job? Only the devil would have you interpret the Bible. I'm like, no, you're not. We have what Job didn't have. Job didn't have the name of, we have the name of Jesus. We have a name that was given, that at the mention of that name, every knee that's on the earth, every knee above the earth, and every knee under the earth has to bow at the mention of that name. If you know that name, shout it out. Somebody came up to me and I was preaching on healing and all that one time. But what about Job? I said, I'm not Job, I'm Jonathan. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Every covenant progressed on the one before. Hebrews 8:6, we now have a better covenant built on better promises. But even if you want to go back to Job, what is the book of Job? He was rich, then Satan attacked him and killed him, and things didn't work out. Nobody ever finishes the book. Job 42:10. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him double. Everybody shout double.
Double
what he had before. Then all his brothers, sisters, and former friends came and feasted with him in his home. And they consoled him and comforted him because of all the trials that had been brought against him. And each of them brought him a gift of money and a gold ring. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep. How many of you know numbers aren't? Numbers aren't important to God. Oh, funny how he counts everything. 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. He named his first daughter Jemima, the second Kezia, and the third Karen Huppach. In all the land there were no women as lovely as the daughters of Job. So there's a scripture you can stand on that you don't have to have ugly babies. Amen. And their father put them into the will along with their brothers. Verse 16. Job lived 140 years after that. How long?
140.
And how long was his trial?
18 months.
You can see people's eyebrows going up like Muppet characters up above their. It's like, I don't have to be defeated. 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. Then Job died, an old man who had lived a long, full life. I'm going to tell you why the Lord had me read that tonight. Because there's people here that if your story ended right now, it would be a sad story. But it's not ending at chapter 40. It's going to end at chapter 42:16. Where when it's all said and done, the Lord's not only going to turn things around, he's going to give you back double. You don't have to stay. Just because you were attacked doesn't mean you have to stay in the pit. God will take you up out of the pit and set your feet on the rock to stay. You're not going to finish saying the devil had his way. They're going to finish where the devil will rue the day. He didn't take you out when he had the chance. He that began a good work in you will bring it to completion, whether the devil likes it or not.
So rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has given you the victory. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Turn to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 20. I read the first half of this chapter on Sunday morning. I'll read the second half now, Lord willing. Verse 15. They're under attack from three different armies. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 15. The Holy Ghost gives them the instruction on how to defeat this attack. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid. Everybody say, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. Everybody say, don't be discouraged.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah, and don't repeat discouraging things. Well, you know, we need to build a new building, but where we live, you know, the average income is about $24,000, so it would be almost impossible. The bank said that we would need this much down, which we would have a hard time raising, and then the monthly payment would be about triple what comes in our office. Shut up! God is a supernatural God. God doesn't ask you to go forward and ask you to do it in your own strength. I said, God doesn't ask you to go forward and tell you to do it in your own strength. I was preaching in Alaska a couple months back, and me and the pastor were talking after the service, and we found out we had a mutual friend that very few people know. In his heyday, he was one of the, I mean, I would say one of, he had the strongest word of knowledge and miracle ministry in the United States, no question. And so when he found out I knew him, he said, you know him? And so we had stories, because this guy never shut off out of the anointing. I mean, it was late. He would be out of the service like he'd be in the service. One time, I had a family member that was out to eat with his preacher. The lady came up and said, hello, my name's Marie. I'll be taking care of you today. He said, that's what it says on your name tag, but your actual name's Karen. Her face went white, and we never saw her again. So he was like that all the time. Everybody say, my God is a miracle-working God. You don't try to figure stuff out in your head. You do what the Lord tells you. And do what Oral Roberts would tell people on his TV show and everybody get ticked off about it. Expect a miracle. Expect one when you wake up. Expect one while you're sleeping. Say that before you go to bed tonight. Thank you, Father, as I go to sleep, you're working on my behalf. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just get your heart set in the right direction. I don't know how we could ever do that. You can't ever do anything. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. But you'll never see him do anything until you line your mouth up with what his word says. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, I tell myself. Why? Because yourself never feels like saying that kind of stuff. Bless the Lord, I tell myself, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all my sins and heals all my disease. He ransoms me from death. He fills my life with good things. He fills my life with good things. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 103, 1-5. That's just five verses that if you'd say it, it'd get you in the right direction. Psalm 23 will get you in the right direction. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thank you, Jesus, that as I follow you, it's impossible for me to ever lack. My cup will never run dry. My cup runs over. Hallelujah. God, you're taking me forward. You're not taking me backward. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So check this out. Say it again. Say, I serve a miracle God.
I serve a miracle God.
So, you know, and the more you're around church, the more you forget that. You're like, oh, yeah, that's what we tell the people who are new and coming, but really, we need to figure out a plan. No. God is a miracle-working God. And whatever the greatest miracle that he's ever done for you, he's got one better waiting for you tonight. He's a God of increase. I said he's a God of increase. So check this out. Pastor Daniel Bracken in Wasilla, Alaska. Just so you, because I know these stories sound insane, but they're all true. That's why I serve the Lord. I was sitting in a restaurant today. There are three people at a bar. I told my nephew, I could never backslide. I could not listen to stupid people talk for 2 hours that are half drunk. I was getting annoyed just sitting there. Not the sin, just like dumb. You know, people are dumb enough sober. You get alcohol involved, it gets bad. I was like, how can people sit and listen to this for like an hour? It's taking me off, and I'm like 30 feet away. Maybe I could backslide. I'd end up smashing a beer bottle over somebody's head. Not you, so relax. I like you people. Those three people at the bar were annoying. So we're eating dinner after the service. He says, do you know that preacher? I said, yeah. He said, you want to hear something that happened? Because he used to pastor in Hawaii before he pastored in Alaska, the guy I'm talking to. He said, we were on the island of Kauai in Hawaii. And this minister, we'll call him Marty, he was preaching there. And when we finished, we were having dinner after the service. It was me, the senior pastor of the church in Kauai, and this prophet. He said, we're eating, and the pastor makes a remark. He said, man, my lease is up on my house at the end of this month. And we had a house all lined up, and it just fell through. So now I have to be out of my house, but I don't have anywhere to go. And in Kauai, it's a little island in Hawaii, there's not like tons of houses. It'd be like needing a house in Edenton or something. You know, there's like not a lot available. And so when he says it, this guy with his eyes squinty looks up from eating and goes, God's going to give you a house before the end of the night. So the pastor says, before the end of the night, it's 10:15. The night's over in 1 hour and 45 minutes. And when he said that, the prophet said, fully furnished too. Well, he didn't believe it. They just ignored him and went back to eat. They're driving Prophet Marty back to the hotel. And as they're driving him back, he points at a house and says, that's the house. Let me out of the car. They said, what? At this point, it's 11:15 now. He said, I'm not having you. You know, you go knock on somebody's door at 11:15 in North Carolina, they're probably going to answer with, shh, shh. And it was like that in rural Hawaii. You're not going to go, I'm not having you knock on somebody's door at 11:15. He said, let me out. He won't stop the car. So Prophet Marty opened the door and got ready to get out with the car still moving. So you don't want to kill the guest speaker. So he quickly pulled over. And this prophet briskly walks up the sidewalk, goes up the stairs to the house, and knocks on the door. And as he's getting ready to knock on the door opens. And the man inside the house comes out getting ready to walk his dog. And he's startled because there's a guy in a sweaty suit with his tie loosened. Like we all look when we get done preaching. You had a weird job being an evangelist. You go out to eat, you have a suit on, but you look like a hitman that like didn't quite plan the thing out right. Yeah, can I help you? Because they don't know you're a preacher. So this guy comes out with his dog, and he starts, oh, can I help you? Prophet Marty said, you're not thinking of selling this house, are you? He said, actually, it's funny you brought that up. My mother lives in Missouri, and I just got a call that she had a massive stroke. And I'm her only son. I have to fly tomorrow to go take care of her. And he said, I need to buy a house in Missouri. I need to sell this house immediately. Prophet Marty goes, I got somebody to buy it for you right in that car. How much do you want for it? How much you wanted for it was the same amount that he pre-qualified on the loan for the other house that fell through. And then, so they get ready to work the deal. Wait. And then the guy says this, listen, I don't want to be an imposition, but it'll cost me more to fly my furniture from Kauai to Missouri than it would be to buy new furniture. Would you mind if I left all the furniture in there? And they said, not at all. And when they finished signing the deal, it was just before midnight, and God gave them a fully furnished house, just like he said. Now listen to this. Pastor Daniel said that pastor said to him, how did you do that? And he very calmly said, I try to live out of my spirit. See, they've taught you in America to exalt your mind, exalt your emotion, and exalt your flesh. Everything's about how you feel. Even the songs that are sung in most churches now is all about how you feel. How many of you feel discouraged tonight? Who cares? Lester Summerall said when he was in his 20s and he met Smith Wigglesworth, he said, how do you feel, Brother Wigglesworth? He said, I never asked Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. Talking about himself. I don't care how I feel. I care what the Word of God says. I live out of my spirit. And so if the devil has his way, he gets you figuring out everything in the natural, but you don't win in the natural. Let me put it to you like this. There's two octagons. If you watch UFC fighting, there's two octagons in life. One here and one here. This octagon is the octagon of your emotions and your mind. If the devil can get you to fight him in this octagon, The devil's undefeated in this octagon. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian, you have a crucifix around your neck, beads, something from TBN that they sent you for your best gift. Doesn't matter. You will get your butt kicked every time. The devil has never lost one battle when you go by how you feel, thinking it out in the natural. But if you can get him in this second octagon, the octagon of faith, the devil has never won one battle in this octagon. And so when you stand on the word of God, pray in the Holy Ghost and go by your spirit, you trounce him in round one every time he shows his ugly face trying to keep you down. That's why there's people sitting here right now. You've been losing battles left and right because you've been letting the devil pick which octagon you fight in. But tonight, we transfer rings. And the ring you're going to fight in, you have a Holy Ghost trainer named the Holy Spirit. And you have Jesus in your corner cheering you on from heaven. And you're never going to lose another battle because the battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. And the Lord has already won. Hey, so rejoice ahead of time and be glad, because every mountain that is before you is being brought low by the hand of Almighty God. Hey, take 15 good seconds. Put those hands together again and give God the mightiest shout you've ever given anybody. You sound good. Keep it going. Stir me up. The devil is defeated. I said the devil's defeated. It's not going to finish like it started. It's not going to finish like it started. It's not going to finish like it started. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say I'm going higher.
I'm going higher.
Say the Lord's building a house.
Lord,
and I'm on his side.
On his side.
Yeah, the Bible says in Psalm 127:1, lest the Lord builds a house, they that labor in vain. But you know what that tells you? God's building something. So if you find his flow, you can get into it. And I'm going to tell you something. If you get into that flow, you'll never build anything for God. You'll actually watch God build for you. Lift your hands all over this place. I give you the same word that I gave on Sunday night. I feel it stirring in my spirit again. As hard as the last 15 years were, that's how easy it'll be from this day forward. Because before you were doing it in the flesh, you didn't know what you know now. But God's put enough of a jolt in your spirit by his word, by the Holy Ghost, that you're going to rapidly multiply. The devil thought you were going to slow down, but he's wrong. You're going to speed up. Hallelujah. It'll baffle your friends in the ministry. They'll think they thought you were getting ready to retire. No, you're not going to retire. You're going to refire and remind the devil you were called to this territory and you're not done driving his sorry behind out of the woods of North Carolina. Hallelujah. This generation shall be saved. This generation shall be saved. From the Virginia border to the South Carolina border. From whatever states to your west to the Atlantic Ocean. North Carolina will be lit ablaze one more time by the Spirit of God. Say this out loud. Faith always goes forward. Now say it like you didn't die 10 days ago. Say faith always goes forward. One more time.
Faith always goes forward.
That's why Summerall had the second draft doors. A reminder every morning when he woke up. That's why, you know, that's why our crusades have grown. Thank God for 3,000 people in attendance. Thank God for 900 people coming to the altar. But things are never supposed to stay where they are. If you follow God's plan, the Holy Ghost always leads forward. He never has you stay still, and he never has you go backward. The kingdom of God is built on increase. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn on the ear. The mustard, though it's the smallest seed, becomes a mighty tree, and birds make their nest in it. That means you start supporting other families based on the residue of what God has overflowing from your cup. Psalm 23:5, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup of blessing runneth over. Every person that walked in here with an empty cup, you say you're on a fixed income, I'm unfixing your income. The windows of heaven are coming open over your life and pouring out a blessing that's so great. The only problem you'll have is where to put it all. Hallelujah. This lady in the ice cream colored top, come right around. Power of God's all over you. Come right around. That's the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I'll tell you, it'll do better than any medicine. That's it. Enjoy it. Why don't you lift your hands and get a little of the new wine that she's drinking right now? Everybody should leave here drunk. Not on Jose Cuervo, not on Miller Lite. Drunk on the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Everybody say it's the Holy Ghost. These men are not drunk as you suppose, but they are very full of the Holy Ghost. Full of new wine. Intoxicated on the Spirit of God. That prophet said, I try to live out of my spirit. That's what that means. You exalt the spirit man, the hidden man of the heart. You don't go by how you feel. We walk by faith and not by sight. If the devil gets you looking at the natural, you'll go down every time. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep the word of God in our mouth, and we prevail in every battle of life. Do you have that video ready? Do you have that video ready? Do you have the video ready? Listen, before you play it, this is Camden, New Jersey. If you count cities with less than 100,000 people, the FBI rated it the most violent city in the United States the last time they did their statistics in 2012. 90% of the crowd that showed up every night was unchurched and unsaved. Watch what the Lord did. And when you watch Monday night, it was right after the Charlottesville riot, the race riot. So I'm a white preacher. Everybody on the field's black and Hispanic. The cops were nervous. And so I start preaching how Jesus was the lamb that was slain for every tongue, every tribe, every nation and race. And the power goes out right when I say, Jesus loves you no matter what the color of your, when I went to say skin, all the power shut down. And we were using generators run by city union electricians. Generators can't fail unless they're not filled with gas, and they were filled with gas. Found out later there were witches cursing the meeting. Power goes down. But what the devil meant for bad, I saw the people. When I was telling them that and all the power went off, they thought, oh my God, this isn't a game. The devil really wants me not to get saved. So they went forward. I preached with no microphone. Actually, one of the cops went to his vehicle and handed me a riot control bullhorn to preach with. You can't shut the Holy Ghost down, my friend. Watch what God did in Camden, New Jersey. Go ahead. Show you how powerful the anointing is.
Single festival is different than the next, and volunteers and staff members usually remember them for one thing or another. Here in Camden, we all agree that the spiritual opposition and victory were the greatest.
1 week before Festival of Life began, a Camden woman spread Facebook rumors that Festival of Life flyers were the work of human traffickers. Her post picked up traction.
We all know that ain't nothing free because
she's a witch. She ripped down all our flyers.
All of us working single moms.
She identifies as a witch.
We have our bills and stuff paid. So when y'all see stuff like this, please take it down.
Festival of Life quickly got in front of the lie with truth trafficking. Our post was viewed 110,000 times and shared over 1,800 times. As a result, the festival received the endorsement of Camden City Council. Opening night, over 3,100 people flooded Bonita Park. 591 received Jesus.
I've never seen the Lord touch people like this on opening night.
I want to find God. I want to know Him more, and I want to be with Him. I want Him to be the person that I run to when I cry, because it seems like I can't find it in nobody else.
Every unclean thing in your blood, cualquier cosa. I tell you, you're not going to die, you're going to live.
I have a blood disorder, yes.
Every unclean thing in your blood is already gone.
I believe it. I believe him.
When God touches you, it's only the beginning. It always gets better.
My grandfather was a minister. I came from a background, but I took my Shahada to be Muslim like a year and a half ago, but I think I'm changing back over.
Here was the night.
Monday night at Festival of Life Camden was called Monday Miracle Night, and it lived up to its name.
Jesus loves you.
Jesus te ama.
No matter who you are.
No matter quién tú eres.
No matter the color.
In the midst of a powerful sermon, the generator died. The lights went out, but the power turned on.
Y'all don't play with medicine, my man.
Money can't come to power.
person left, and peace flooded the fields. With no microphone and standing in the dark, evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth led 717 people to the light. The lights eventually turned back on. That's when Miracle Monday began to manifest.
She has beat me, told me horrible things. Like, it wasn't even a mother-daughter relationship. It was cops had to get involved, dicers had to get involved. Like I said, she's been hospitalized multiple times. We're known at Kennedy Crisis.
Katana is 13 years old and has been tormented by voices since she was 5.
They would haunt me like nightmares. I would see the most hideous things.
You don't understand how it's the first time that her face lit up and she's looking at him preach and her face just lit up. And she's so happy. She's like, Mommy, I see her worshiping.
That one moment was a miracle. I felt it rip out of me. It was like I was entirely new.
For the first time in 13 years, like almost 13 years, she tells me, Mommy, I don't hear the voices anymore. That's a miracle.
We don't need more dead religion.
No necesitamos más religión muerta.
We need a new generation of Dominicans.
Necesitamos una generación nueva de dominicanos.
Mexicans.
Mexicanos.
Puerto Ricans.
Puerto Ricanos.
Black people.
Morenos.
White people.
Blancos.
That are filled with the Holy Ghost and fire.
I can't explain it. I really can't explain it. He just came to me, Pastor came to me, and he was just like, we're not going to have any more seizures.
You'll never have another seizure.
And I'm like, well, how does this man know about my seizures? I've recently just had 3 seizures in one day. It was like, your God's going to give you a new body.
Destiny had seizures, metal screws in her back and neck, and constant depression. She even used a walker to get around. She returned to the festival the next day, walking freely, for the first time in years, pain-free.
I prophesy in the name of Jesus.
Y profetizo en el nombre de Jesús.
You ain't gonna die.
Tú no vas a morir.
You're gonna live.
Tú vas a vivir.
God's gonna use you.
Dios te va a usar.
You're gonna preach the gospel.
Tú vas a predicar el evangelio.
In Jesus' name.
For some, healing comes in the laying on of hands. Others have faith so strong and simple that they are healed just by hearing the word.
On Monday, he came, he was here, and when he was hearing the evangelist preach that to receive, lay your hands over the affected part, and because he was hearing the testimonies, and he said, hey, those things happen to those people, why can't they happen to me? Monday in the morning, when he woke up and he didn't feel the pain, he just began to start moving it, started doing everything that he couldn't do before. So that...
I called my daughter, my son, I called all my family. I said, wow, God is good.
Alyssa Lennox was healed from cancer after praying with evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth during a Facebook Live broadcast at Festival of Life in Allentown earlier in 2017.
It's amazing that not being here in person but watching him live, I was able to get that miracle.
Doctors had Alyssa retested 3 times and couldn't find a single cancer cell.
Usually when you have that bad result the first time, you're used to seeing cancer cells, and they found nothing. But they said, you know, just to be sure, we'll do another, you know. In my head, I'm like, you know, makes sense, I know why.
Jesus Christ is still the great healer.
Jesucristo sigue siendo el buen sanador.
Jesus Christ is still the great physician.
Jesucristo sigue siendo el mejor médico.
When you call on him tonight,
cuando tú clama a él esta noche,
he will answer you.
Él te responderá.
He will deliver you.
Él te va a libertar.
Out of all your trouble.
Many of the people seem to have a similar trouble. Depression and a spirit of suicide.
I actually wrote you, I was going to commit suicide. And when I came here Sunday, it stopped.
You know, I used to be a cutter before. I used to actually cut myself.
But just like Jesus said, he delivered them from all their trouble.
About me coming here and hearing the word from Jonathan, Pastor Jonathan, he saved my life.
I sleep through the night without screaming, crying. This week I've slept all through the night.
Because it only takes one person in a family.
Porque solamente toma una persona en la familia.
To say enough is enough.
Para que digan ya es suficiente.
I'm going to live my life for God.
Voy a vivir mi vida para Dios.
I'm not going to sell out to the world. I prophesy. prophesy tonight in the name of Jesus.
Profetizo esta noche en el nombre de Jesús.
Not only are you going to be saved,
no solo tú serás salvo.
God's going to save your family.
Each of the testimonies represent a family that no longer has to deal with the emotional, financial, physical, and spiritual struggle of their former burden. Camden families were changed, and it all started with meeting their physical needs. Festival of Life gave away 1,000 grocery boxes, $20,000 in bill pays and prizes, and 500 book bags for the kids to take back to school.
It was so fun getting the backpack. I got supplies. I have a book bag, and it's like a tealish green and a pink zipper.
It's more than a backpack. It's more than that. It's love, it's support, it's, you feel the vibe here.
Festival of Life came to Camden to save souls, and the love of God was so strong that it was a healing balm.
It was just beautiful to me to see everybody interacting under one God, no matter who, you know, what color of your skin it was, all those differences put to the side to come and worship God together. My faith was restored.
Total attendance for the week was 13,440 people. Twice they received personal prayer. 2,800 people gave their life to Jesus. That's it for Festival of Life here in Camden. We are now packing up and heading to West Virginia. For Festival of Life, I'm Stephanie Esposito.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Everybody say the anointing breaks the yoke. You see, we gave away backpacks and food. But if that's all you do, you're not a minister. I'm sick of hearing people, we're going on a missions trip. What are you going to do on the missions trip? We're going to paint houses. That's called painting. That's not missions. That's humanitarianism. That's not the gospel. You can go to hell in an unpainted house or painted house. We go to the homeless people and we pass out socks for the homeless. Great. Now you can go to hell with socks on. See, it gets quiet because I'm sure there's people that do that. Now you feel, but I don't know you're here. So don't blame me. It's the Lord talking to you. So be mad at him. See where that gets you. Because they've subverted actual ministry in the United States, and that's why the country was on its way to hell up until about, it's reversing now. The tide's turning now. They turn ministry into food banks and everything but people getting saved. The average church in America baptizes one new convert every 3 years. So people need backpacks. And I pass them out. 1,000 grocery boxes, 2,000 grocery boxes in Philadelphia. But you can go to hell hungry or full. The main thing is until something changes on the inside, nothing will ever change on the outside. So if that hurts your feelings, I'm not sorry. I'm saying it on purpose because there's young people that are here that are called into the ministry that the Lord used me tonight to make sure you don't end up some dead, dried up American nonprofit. You know, you talk to people that are in missions. We run. You're not really allowed to preach in this country, so we run a soccer camp, and then we just live our Christian life before them. How has that worked? How many of them have gotten, well, no one's gotten saved yet? Yeah, it's not the gospel. The Bible says, how can they call on him whom they've never heard? How can they hear unless there be a preacher? How can there be a preacher unless he goes? How can he go unless he's sent? As the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. I'm going to pray for you in a little bit. Because I can see people stirring. You know, it's after 9 now. We have to work in the morning. Yeah, whatever. I'll be out of your hair for good after tomorrow night. But you should stay here and not miss this. Because you're about to get the meal at the restaurant. You shouldn't sit there and eat the chips and dip and order and then leave before the food comes. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God's going to touch you tonight. I said God's going to touch you tonight.
Amen.
In case you don't know, there's nothing to do in this town anyway, so there's no reason to leave. There's one thing open, McDonald's, and it's open 24 hours, so there is no point leaving. The action is here. Can you say amen? Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, I could best illustrate it like this. That lady that got healed of cancer, you know why they ran 3 tests on her? It wasn't because there was no cancer. It's because there was no dead cancer cells. They said, well, cancer can go away, but it can't go away without a trace. And it was gone. No trace. Couldn't find it. But you know, the reason I bring that up is, why does the devil work so hard to get people to quit preaching and demonstrating the power of God? He doesn't care about any of the other stuff. You can start a food bank. You can do all that stuff. There's no demonic opposition.
even when we've done these meetings. And protesters come. One of the mayors said, it's odd that there's protesters coming. We've had nights of worship here before. We've had all kinds of stuff, religious stuff. And we've never had any protesters. I said, have you ever had any preachers that are calling people to get saved? Well, no, we haven't had that. We'll see. You rounding up the Christians and strumming a guitar and no preaching. It's like the church. You know, people, if they're not careful, they'll always take the path of least resistance. So there's resistance to preaching, so they'll do everything else but the preaching. And that's why God is going to raise up tonight a new generation of Holy Ghost preachers. Whatever the devil doesn't want you to do once, do it twice. It's not time to back down. It's time to step forward and bust the devil in the mouth. And the people that are going to do it are in this room. God's going to use you to do it. You know, that Allentown meeting, we had 150 people call 911 for noise complaints on opening night. So the chief of police called me at 8 in the morning. He said, Reverend, we had the most people ever call for noise complaints last night than we've ever had. He said, so I'm going to have to ask you to turn the sound down. And so I said, I'm not going to turn the sound down, and I'm going to tell you two reasons why. Well, the thing was, number one is 8 in the morning. I don't wake up till, in my head, I don't wake up till like 10:30, 11 o'clock. So when I said, it popped out of my spirit. I'm not going to turn the sound down, and I'm going to tell you two reasons why. I was looking forward myself to hearing the two reasons, because I didn't even know one reason. But remember, the Bible, Jesus said, whenever you're in those situations, the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. I said, number one, I'm not going to turn down the sound because we have a permit and I already got ahead of it. You know, I just think, if I was the devil, what would I do to me? And then I get ahead of it. I said, we stipulated in the permit how loud the decibel reading is allowed to be. And I said, your officers were there. Did we ever go over that? He said, no, you didn't. I said, well, you know, as a police officer, I don't have to tell you that we don't go by what people think is okay. We go by what the law says, and I was within the law. He said, that's true. He said, I was just confused because we have concerts in that park all the time, and we never get any complaints. I said, they're not complaining because of how loud the noise is. They're complaining because of what we're making noise about. And I said, I know you don't understand spiritual things, but I'm a preacher, and I'm going to tell you something. He actually said, that makes sense. I said, if we turn down the volume, they'll call back tomorrow and have us turn it down again till the volume's out and we're out of the park. If you bow to the devil, he'll have you keep bowing till you're out of the ministry and dead. He tells you to turn the volume down, order more speakers and turn it up. If you think I'm too loud, don't buy a house where I was planning on preaching. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. Then I said, the second thing's this. I said, isn't 911 for emergencies only? He said, it is. I said, is a noise complaint an emergency? He said, it's not. I said, then arrest them. Now, that's the Holy Ghost, because I'm not that smart at 3 p.m., let alone at 8 a.m. And when I said that to him, he laughed. He said, I never thought of it like that. Thank you. And hung up. You don't bow to the devil. And the devil has tried to shut down two things in America. I'm talking among Christians in the ministry. The preaching of the gospel. Go on mission trip and never preach one time. Just paint, feed. We gave blankets. We gave clothes. Great. The United Nations does that. Jesus didn't say, go ye into all the world and give people socks and paint their homes. He said, go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. My dad just got back from a Middle Eastern country, which we can't even say, even now that he's back home, we can't say where it is, because if the country finds out he was there, they'll figure out what pastors he worked with and kill them all. He was in an Islamic republic and held meetings every night. Had to use a different spot every night or you'd die. In, preach, miracles, out in 3 hours. New place. In, preach, pray for the sick, out in 3 hours with a big police entourage. One night, the way my dad was working it, you were supposed to pray. He was praying from the platform, and he told the workers, then ask who's received a miracle and have them come up to testify. So in other words, people that have already been healed, have them come up and tell that they were healed, and then that'll give the other people more faith. Well, something got butchered in translation at the one place. So these sons bring their father, their old Islamic father, up on a chair, who's an imam, full garb, and says, my dad's paralyzed from the waist down. Can you pray for him? My dad said, you mean he was paralyzed and got healed? No. We just brought him up. We want you to pray for him. So here's my dad in front of 30,000 people with an imam. You know, you just got done telling everybody that. I'm talking this 2 weeks ago. You just got done telling everybody Jesus is a healer. And now they bring this imam everybody knows paralyzed from the waist down. My dad told me on the phone. He said, I made up my mind. Your skinny butt's walking one way or the other. Because you pray differently when your life's on the line. So my dad said, I laid hands on him. And I said, Father, do this to help him and do this to help me. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be able to walk. And my dad said, now stand up. And the man said in his language through the interpreter, I can't stand up. He said, yes, you can. And he said, in the name of Jesus. And my dad picked him up and he said, now walk. The guy's not walking. My dad's dragging him like a puppet. His feet are just dragging. And then he starts moving the one foot, then starts going. Then my dad let go. The guy doesn't realize my dad let go. You know, he's like a two-year-old ticket. And when he looks back and sees my dad let go, he starts jumping. The son starts jumping. And my dad said, conservatively, 90% of the crowd lifted their hands and started to call on Jesus to forgive them of their sins and save them. People say, you can't get permission to preach the gospel in that country. Actually, we already have permission. Jesus gave us a command to go into all the world. You can't shut the church down. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And if you take a stand for it, God will back you. And I'm going to tell every one of you, God's going to back you from tonight. You speak it first and God backs it from heaven. If I'd have laid down to that chief of police, that crusade would have ended in two more nights. You duck to the devil, he'll have you bowing for the rest of your life. But when he tells you to bow, you step forward and say, look at Elijah. Elijah was making fun of the prophets of Baal. He wasn't even praying. Perhaps your God's old and deaf. Perhaps he's on vacation. Perhaps he's taking a leak. That's what he said. So don't get mad at me. In Christian school, I raised my hand and said, can I take the pass for what? I need to take a leak. My teacher said, don't say that. I said, Elijah said it? Are you better than him? You like that. Somebody shout hallelujah. Lift your hands one last time and let the Lord touch you, even right now. I'm just going to pray for a couple people. This guy that has red hair like my father, just stand up if you would. Just take a step forward and lift both hands. If what I'm saying to you is out of the blue and doesn't register with your spirit, you can throw it all away. I tell you, as I was preaching, I felt like what I was preaching was coming alive in your spirit, because you always like this kind of stuff, because the Lord has you wired that way, that he's going to use you that way. And I feel like everybody else kind of got an after effect. But really, the Lord used tonight kind of to save your life in a way, because the devil would have used religious people to take the call of God that's on your life and steer it where you were totally ineffective and you never had any fun in the ministry. Let me tell you, if you do ministry the other way, it's not fun. If you do ministry the way Holy Ghost life, it's an adventure. You laugh. Just have fun. Say crazy stuff to people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so I tell you, the Lord used today to save your life. Just come over here closer to the middle. I want to pray for you. When I say save your life, I just mean lift both hands, close both eyes. It's the difference between retiring at 58 and going strong at 85. That's the anointing, my friend. And miracles will follow your ministry. So don't do whatever they taught you, wherever they taught you. Do what I tell you. It works better. Preach the Bible strong. Don't explain it. Preach it. And then after you preach it, the Lord will come behind what you tell people. Even if it's a little youth meeting or whatever, just do it the same. Preach. And then just like in that youth camp, cutters, kids that are battling suicide, believe them. Like that little girl, 13 years, she heard multiple voices. Had gone to the mental institution in Philadelphia so much with her mother that they didn't even have to fill out the paperwork anymore. And she said, as soon as you stood in front of me, the voices shut up. God will shut the mouth of every demon that's been attacking your life. Come on. When I lay hands on you, God's going to give you an impartation. You'll go further, faster. Doors will open.
And I'm telling you, the Lord's proud of you. The devil tried to hijack your ministry with religious people. You didn't enjoy it, but do it the raw way. Do it the way you wanted to do it in the beginning. Filled. There it is. Filled. Where's the fire of the Holy Ghost? Run. Run strong. Run strong. More than you can hold. In Jesus' mighty name. Or did I not call you to display my miracles to your generation? And you shall display my miracles to your generation. This lady here in the all black with the denim. Huh? Come right. Come right. Just come over here. Lift both hands. Close both eyes. Same with you. Never take constructive criticism from someone who hasn't constructed anything. Just because somebody failed at something doesn't mean they're qualified to teach on it. Well, I was a missionary for 17 years. How many people did you get saved? 9. Okay, who cares what you have to say? Listen to people that have built what you're looking to build. This nice looking couple here, black shirt and then the black and white. Just stand out in the aisle. I don't know whether you plan to match or if you've been married so long you just end up matching without even trying. That's what me and my wife always do. Lift both hands, close both eyes. Lord gives you a fresh anointing. Put this hand on your chest, upper chest, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God extends your life. All your levels go to normal. In Jesus' mighty name. Put this hand on your belly. So you on the belly, you on the heart. Filled! There it is. Go right through you. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Fresh anointing. You guys don't have to stand up because you have the little kid, but lift both your hands and then lift your free hand. God pours out fresh oil on you right now. You're going to have the best 5 months you've ever had between now and Christmas. In Jesus' name. I see it right now. Hallelujah. Come right out. I'm actually going to pray for you, and then you can stay with the boy. Lift both your hands right there. As you do, the fire of God falls on you right now. Now, remember that story I told about the house? God will do everything by the anointing instead of you trying to work it out. And I feel that. I feel like the Lord had me tell that example not only to tell you about the anointing, but that there's property, suitable housing coming your way, and it'll come easy. In Jesus' name. This lady with the nice frames, just meet me over there. Yeah, just take a step over there. Lift both hands to the Lord. As you do, the fire of God falls on you right now. There it is. Filled! That's it. Be healed in your body and your whole family be restored in Jesus' mighty name. That's it. Got it. Lift your other hand to the Lord. Filled! Right through you. Now, if you fall down, let go of my hand, please, because I need both hands. If somebody pulls one off, you know, I'm not like a G.I. Joe that you can just stick another one on.
I know you tried to hide. Put your other hand where your chest is. Everything that remains to be done, it's done right now. You got to restore your whole family. In Jesus' name.
Come here, my barbecue friend. That's right.
That's right. Have more. That's the Holy Ghost. You gave my nephew that pulled pork yesterday, and as soon as you did, I felt the release of blessing on you. Lift both hands to the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you two things. Whatever you gave this week, I know you released not what was comfortable. You released more than what was comfortable. You did everything you could to bless me and my nephew while we're here. And now, just like Elisha did with the Shunammite woman when she did that, God's going to visit you. You'll be quickly promoted. Any held up money will be released to you. And then I'll tell you a third thing. Anything in the natural that would make it hard for you to, employment-wise or getting money, God removes that barrier and is going to give you favor with people, and it'll all just flow.
Be blessed.
Now, when they say that we push people over, you think I could push him over? And if he thought I was trying to push him over, I'd be missing teeth. The power of God's real. All right, you know I like you anyway, so come on over. Put your hands on your belly, both of them. As I've prayed for quite a few people, you can't do the ministry with... Not only can you not do the ministry with your body at 70%, you actually can't even do the ministry with your body at 100%. You need it to be at like 120. And so God's going to give you a new liver, new pancreas, and new kidneys. And all that, a new heart. All your levels will go to normal. Close both eyes. Your vision becomes clear. No pressure. There it is. God not only extends your life, extends your ministry. Should the Lord tarry, these next 10 years will be the greatest 10 years you've ever had in the ministry. More money than has ever come in by far. Not like a little more. It'll be like whatever you even think about doing, the Lord will open it up to you. My friend here that opened up the service, just face me, lift both hands and close both eyes. Same way I told that story about that house being supernaturally released. God will finish this next phase of your ministry supernaturally as you laid hold of it by faith. The plan of the devil before this week was to wear your body out in this project and then make it a big struggle to get the money. But both things have been undone. God supernaturally refreshes your body now. Fills you with joy now, and money will start to overflow supernaturally. There it is, coming right into you right now. The gift of faith. Gift of faith. Hallelujah. When you have people say that on Christian radio, they push those people down. You come down to North Carolina. Pushing guys around. They'll find you in a swamp. Cornfield. Yeah. Would you mind if I prayed for you? I won't do anything you don't like, I promise. You, yeah. Just lift your hands right there. Everything you've seen up until now is addition, says the Lord. And from tonight, God will start to multiply the fruit of your labor. Whatever you do as far as business goes, you'll end up with the top one in your area. And it'll happen quickly. It'll be supernatural. It'll blow your competition away. Say, who do you know? How'd you do that? And it'll give you an opportunity to tell them about the Lord. These next 5 months, between now and Christmas, I've been telling like everybody, it'd be the best 5 months ever. Praise the Lord. Do you mind if I pray for you? Power of God's all over you. Yeah, come right up. I shouldn't have told that story about throwing that guy out in Indiana, because now everybody I single out there, like, think they're in trouble. Lift both hands. That's it. Basically, when I call you out, usually it's just to put the cherry on top, because you've already accessed the power of God. There it is. Filled! More? More? That's it. Have another drink. More? Drunk on new wine. Filled! There it is. Just stay there and let the Lord touch you. Nice to meet you. Put one hand on your belly, one hand on your heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Bloodstream. All your organs that were prematurely shutting down, they're not allowed to shut down. I loose a miracle working power of God into your body right now. Filled! There it is. New kidneys, new pancreas, new heart. When I was praying for her, I felt it jump on you. Lift both hands. Close both. Hallelujah. If you would just lift your hands all over the building instead of looking suspiciously at me like I'm Bernie Madoff investing your money. Cribodoste cabra. You watch what happens now. You watch what happens. Nothing from your past will limit you going forward in the future. Mark it down. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Do you mind if I prayed for you? Put your other hand where your heart and lungs are. In Jesus' mighty name. That's it. New lungs. New cardiovascular system. I don't even feel like I need to pray anymore. It's done. Enjoy life. I never understood people, you know. Pick out a burial plot. My wife and I have picked out a burial plot and paid $5,200 a plot. Why don't you go on a cruise? Let somebody else bury you. They're not allowed to throw you out in the street. Quit thinking about death. Life belongs to you. And you say amen. So you're not going to die anytime soon. Just put that one hand on your lungs one more time. You're already healed, but I say every unclean cell, bring shortness of breath or whatever, I curse those cells. Come. Out! Thank you, Jesus. There it is. Now you got your lung capacity back. You can tell the difference now. One more thing. This will be a bonus. Put your hand back where your heart is. Whoever passed away prematurely and the enemy used that as like an entrance to torment you from time to time at night or when you're alone, the Lord replaces that with joy. In Jesus' mighty name, the oil of joy for mourning. In Jesus' mighty name. There. Now it's done. Hallelujah. You mind if I pray for you? Just stand up. Just take one step into the aisle and lift both hands. Lift your hands to the Lord. As you do, the power of God comes upon you. Close both eyes and open your heart. Be filled. There it is. Be whole. In Jesus' name. If you would, just close both eyes. Let the Lord touch you. I'm not going to attack you. I'm way back here. In Jesus' mighty name. That's it. That's it. God bless you. Lift your hands all over the room and just let Jesus touch you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have I prayed for you already this week? Come right out. Power of God's all over you. One hand on your heart. Put both hands where your heart and lungs are. Instead of praying for like 13 different things, I want to just pray for the Lord to give you an overhaul, including new cartilage in your knees. And about 3 different things that are wrong with your feet. Swelling, ankles, and then the bottoms of your feet hurting. In Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, go right into you right now. More? More? Be whole! Here it is. You got it. You can lay her down, Jim. Come right up. When the power of God hit her, it jumped right on you. Take two steps. One hand on your heart, one hand on your mouth. Lord makes you clean right now. Clean out your bloodstream. Clean out everything that was in your body that wasn't planted there by God. Everything that causes pain in your lower body comes out. There it is. Come and hit like wave after wave. And I curse the taste for that stuff off your lip and tongue. You'll never touch it again. And not only will you never touch it again, it won't be a battle. Let me just tell you something. Let me just tell you something. Saying that I haven't touched alcohol in 7 years, 8 months, 4 hours, 6 minutes, and 99 seconds is not freedom. It's a long chain. We're always thinking, you know, once an addict, you'll never, always an addict. It's a battle every day. That's not the Bible. When God sets you free, you are free. Take it. And whenever the time comes, you can have as many children as you'd like. You'll give birth perfectly fine. Nothing from your past will hinder your future. Well, if you're clapping for Jesus, give him a hand clap fit for a king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take that, devil. How'd that taste? You're losing all week in North Carolina. You're going to lose all year in North Carolina. Let the earth rejoice, for our God reigns. Stand on your feet, everybody. I can't tell you how many times that somebody's come up to me and told me that they told me that my child has this problem on the inside of me. Will you pray? And when I got ready to pray, I felt, don't even pray. It's a lie. They don't want you having children. They're trying to reduce the population. The people that govern the world at the highest power want the population to reduce from 7 billion to 1 billion because they say the earth can't sustain this many people, which is a total garbage. If you think we're running out of land, you need to go to Nevada. There's plenty of land. Forget Nevada. Drive between here and Edenton. Could fit like 8 New York cities. Stupid people. They care about the earth more than they care about people. Amen. Care about goldfish and golden retrievers more than they care about people. I care about people. This puppy is blind. So are people. This cat hasn't had anything to eat. So have a lot of babies. Jesus came to redeem mankind. You matter. You matter. When I preached at Kevin's church he was at, who was there? Probably 34 people there. I'm glad I came because he matters and his wife Missy matter. They're serving the Lord and they're doing great. Mother-in-law came around at the end. God swept through the whole family. Missy's son's coming around. Missy's son will be saved. It's a fact.
You matter. That's why I don't preach looking over the tops of everyone's heads like they teach you in Bible college. And so as we go into our third point, and then as we, like you're an animatronic figure from Disney World. Come down where you're at, look in, I care about you. It's like those crusades. I just finished doing one in Newark, 9,000 people on the field. But you want to know what the advantage of doing this is? You can't walk around the 9,000 people and minister to them one at a time. So if you come out, you should get something. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many of you can tell you already got something? Because God's word carries power. Don't mind me. This beautiful couple in the back, black, making wearing black and gold to make me feel welcome from Pittsburgh, and then in the gray, both of you lift your hands to the Lord. As you do, the power of God falls on you right now. No infirmity, no weakness, and the blessing of God shall overtake thee. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you guys from this church? The whole group's from another church? Come right out here. Just stand shoulder to shoulder. I know in my spirit that God brought you here tonight as like a marked, it's like you were going to go in one direction and the Lord swinging you back in the original direction that he had for your life. Because they've convinced everybody in our country like this kind of stuff doesn't work. People don't want to listen to the book. I mean, when you watched that video, you saw people are hungry. That lady was a lesbian Muslim. I mean, she's not even going to heaven according to the Quran. People are just confused. Came there with her girlfriend, interlocked fingers. You'd think somebody preaching like me, they'd storm out. She looked at her and nodded. They let go of each other's hands and both came up and got saved. I became a Muslim a year and a half ago, but I'm coming back over. People are looking for God, and you're going to get it to them. Lift both hands. I see the good hand of God on literally all six of you, which is a rarity. God's going to use you. And I want to tell you, there was a spirit assigned to your life from hell to make it a real struggle to serve the Lord. But today, the Lord has taken that away. And you'll have a free course to just run after God. You won't have a battle and a struggle anymore. There, go right through you. In Jesus' mighty name. That's it. Free. Be mightily anointed. Preach the gospel with power. Lay hands on the girls when you finish preaching. Don't, even if they set the service up to be dead and they say, we don't really give altar calls, this is just a luncheon, just nod your head yes and then do everything like you were going to do it anyway. Filled. There it is. The fire. I'm telling you, people go to Bible college, they like fight the anointing. I'm telling you. I see, when I'm preaching, if you see somebody in their 20s sitting like this, you always feel like going up to them. What Bible college do you attend? With their mouth like a Muppet. That's it. I know I already prayed for you. The Lord's going to give you a second dose. Now you get ready. Because you'll be in full-time ministry. You won't have to supplement it with another job. You won't have to sell like perfumes online or whatever the heck people do. God will make a way for you. Filled! There it is. More? Put this hand on your belly. Filled! next time you speak or give your testimony or whatever, it'll be like you're spitting. They'll say, who was that? What kind of empty? Filled! There it is. Battle's over. You've won. Battle's over. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I thank you for every one of these good North Carolina people, Virginia. This guy right here in the second row, come right now. Power of God's all over you. God's going to use you. Lift both hands, close both eyes. There it is. Be filled. There it is, right through you. More. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you need to do that tonight. Probably the greatest man of God on planet Earth, Pastor E.A. Attaboy. He asked all his pastors on a retreat. I listened to the devotional online. He said, what's the number one goal of a Christian? They went there, you know, operating the gifts of the Spirit, heal the sick, win souls. Wrong, 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 wrong. The number one goal of a Christian, he said, is to make heaven yourself. That's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 to 27. I keep a close watch on myself, what I teach and how I live. Lest after preaching to others, I myself become a castaway. You never bypass the need to keep your flesh under subjection and stay living holy. People are into crazy stuff and still come to church. Got a girlfriend on Tinder and a wife, online relationship. Behind the scenes, there's crazy stuff that they've gotten involved in. And the thing with sin, it lulls you to sleep. You feel bad about it in the beginning. Then a couple months go, it's no big deal. And you've learned to go to church, enter into worship, listen to preaching. And then you have this second life that's a secret life. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, the day will come where God will judge everyone's secret life. And so rather than get judged on it, why not repent of it and put it at the altar and be saved? Don't let this final wicked hour claim you. Don't give the devil the satisfaction of taking you out. Make up your mind tonight. I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ, and I'll never turn back. If you've never done that, or you once did it and you fell away, got swept away, just standing here now realizing, dang, you know, the last 18 months, I let myself go. Come back to the Lord tonight. He'll receive you with open arms, but you need to do it now. Time is running out. Jesus is coming very soon. I was reading online this morning. They had that dinner at the White House for all the evangelical leaders. So it was one of the trending things on Twitter where they were just mocking. It was like a mocking hashtag, evangelical contributions to America. One guy wrote, that feeling of fear every time you didn't see your mother and you thought the rapture happened, LOL. I'm glad I got raised like that. I'm glad my parents raised me to always live ready, because in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. If you're here tonight and you've never made a decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, like those people on the field, 700 and some in one night, if you've never done that, or if you once did and you fell away from God, you've started to entertain things as part of your lifestyle that the Bible calls sin, I'm calling you to get rid of it tonight. Don't go back to your car, still on your way to hell. Go back to your car with a big smile on your face, knowing your sins are all forgiven. They're under the blood, never to be remembered again. You're forgiven. You can lay your head on the pillow tonight and know you have peace with God. If you need to do that, young and old, I want you to put your hand up high and wave it at me, and we'll pray right now. In Jesus' name. Put it up high where I can see it. I see you. I see you back there. Who else? In Jesus' name. Come join me at the front, my friend. You don't have to worry about being the only one because I'm here. proud of you. Lift your other hand to the Lord and just say this. Dear Heavenly Father, I give you my life tonight. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and my Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your power. Where I was weak, make me strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray for you. Father, Father, I thank you for my new brother, Joseph. The same grace that you gave me by your spirit as a little boy to keep me serving you all these years, I thank you that he received that grace now. To never be enticed, to live any way that your word says not to live, and to have a hunger to serve you, to follow hard after your word and your spirit all the days of his life. In Jesus' name. Give your new brother a hand clap. Lift your hands wherever you're standing. Tomorrow night is our final night, and we're going to have what I would call a Holy Ghost blowout service. Amen. And I'm probably going to line everybody up on the field like we did in Camden, because there won't be room to do it in the church, and lay hands on everybody before I leave. So bring everybody that you possibly can, or hit it hard tomorrow night. But I'm going to pray for you tonight with your hands lifted. Every man and woman in the sound of my voice, I curse every work of the enemy targeted for your life, your family, and the thing that God's called you to do. I cover you in the blood of Jesus. The arrows of the wicked will not harm you. The shield of faith quenches every fiery dart of the devil. And it does it right now. You'll never go backwards for the rest of your life. From this day forward, it's forward ever, backward never. In Jesus' name. The last defeat that you suffered will be the last defeat that you ever suffer. Every sickness and disease targeting your body comes under a divine curse now. Be healed in Jesus' name. I command both eyes come clear. No pressure. Whatever they diagnosed you with, that the pressure is going to increase and increase. That thing where it like pops the eyes out, it goes away right now. Amen. In Jesus' name. Grab my hand. Stand up. Take a walk with me. Put the one arm around. As we walk, the Lord restores both eyes. All pressure goes. The source of the pressure goes. Hallelujah. You know, probably the best way I could explain it to you is some of you know what it's like for, on the wicked end of things, that somebody's a drunk or they have an anger problem. When they walk in the house, you can feel the atmosphere change. Some of you had a dad like that or a stepdad like that. He'd come home after drinking and you knew to clear out. You could feel the demonic influence with them. But you know, you can live like that on the other end, where when you walk in, you carry heaven with you. We're just going to pray and we're going to worship and believe for the heavens to open up over this place. I got heaven on the inside of me. When I open my mouth, the heavens come open and come out of my spirit. Can you say amen? Nice guy in the checkered shirt. Nice checkered shirt. I hope I look half as nice as you when I'm 40. Lift both hands. Close both eyes. In Jesus' mighty name. Imagine if the Lord gave you a 3-year run in the ministry where you did more in that 3 years than all the years before that. I tell you this from the Lord. Everything you've seen up until now has been addition. And from these next 3 years, you'll begin to see what the word calls multiplication. You'll start to ask questions like this. Where'd all these people come from? Where'd all this money come from? In Jesus' name, the Lord just overflows you. There it is. That overflow starts in your spirit right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Filled! There it is. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Well, tell the person next to you congratulations, and you can take your seats quickly. We'll dismiss you in just a second. Started talking about those, believe it or not, I had a sermon and notes all ready to go. But obviously that ship sailed. That's why I started talking about those revival meetings I had back in 2011 and 12, because that's what I felt coming in here. Because I'd come in to preach something, it'd be like, I'd just get like, open my mouth to say hello. And the next thing I know, it'd been 2 hours and I preached a bunch of stuff. I'd have to go back and listen to the tape and hear what I preached on. Praise God.
The reason she's rejoicing is because Jonathan calls her out for her eyes. She's been to specialist after specialist in the last 2 months for eye surgeries. So, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Basically, why you should go in the ministry is to help people. What people can't do. Because there's more incurable stuff now than there ever has been. If you were going blind in the 1800s, they got you a dog and a cane. If you're going blind in 2018, they get you a dog and a cane. So nothing's advanced. Cancer rate's gone from 1 in 7 to 1 in 2.5. The only thing pink ribbons help are the guy that owns the pink ribbon factory. Raising awareness doesn't do jack squat. People need healed. People need Jesus. In order to get Jesus, they got to get a Christian. Because the only way someone's going to get Jesus is from a Christian. A real one. Everybody say, I'm a real one. If you went to church where there's a bunch of fake ones, so did I. Don't let it discourage you. Be a real one. Don't let them run you out of church. Run them out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God.
All right, I better be careful because I feel a second wind coming on. That would be unfair to the people. Just remember, I told you this, the day will actually come where we'll clear out this room full of people and then bring in another room full of people at whatever time, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and run it 11 to 1. Clear them out, do another one, 2 to 5. And just go around the clock. The hunger will get so intense in America. Remember. And I'm up for it. I actually feel more refreshed now than when I started. So when you do it by the anointing, it's always easy. When I hear people say, I have to preach 2 times next week, I think you're in the wrong profession. Do you hear a plumber say that? I have to fix 2 sinks next week. I just keep me in prayer. You're supposed to like what you do. Amen.